Welcome to the Catholic Apostolate Center podcast series. This podcast is a presentation that the Center sponsored at the 2019 Mid-Atlantic Congress in Baltimore, entitled, Using Social Media and Digital Resources to be Catholic Evangelical Witnesses. To view the slides that the presenters reference, please go online to www.catholicapostolatecenter.org. Without further ado, I will let the presenters introduce themselves.
Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Father Frank Donio, the Director of Catholic Apostolate Center, and it's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. I'm together with my colleagues Kate Fowler and Chris Pierno. Kate is our blog editor for the Catholic Apostolate Center, and Chris is our senior consultant. And they are going to be joining together with me on this particular session about, as you see, social media and digital resources for Catholic evangelization. Now, before we even enter into this, let's be clear about something. For some people, especially right at the beginning of this presentation, you might go, oh, this is so basic. For other people, it'll be, oh my God, this is absolute Greek, and I don't know what they're saying. I can guarantee you that by the end of the session, there will be a number of things that even if you're fairly experienced, you maybe have not have experienced in before, and they're meant for ease of use. The things that we're going to be presenting are not meant to be things that are so complex that you need to have a computer engineer in order to do it. If you've ever been to our site, catholicapostolatecenter.org, everything is non-specialist built. All of our graphics, all of our videos, all of our website design, everything has been done by the team. And none of those team members have degrees in computer engineering. Some of them have background in design areas, but they're active Catholics who got excited about a mission and are a part of the center. So I'll let two of those team members introduce themselves and a little bit of how they're connected to the center, what they do with the center, and then continue on with our presentation. We'll start with Kate.
Sure. I'm Kate Fowler. As Father said, I'm the blog editor of the Catholic Apostolate Center. And before that, I served as a social media coordinator. So I was using a lot of the tools that we are going to be talking about. But since my time as a social media coordinator, we've had even new emerging tools, the platforms just getting more and more innovative, as they tend to do. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about some of those throughout this presentation.
My name is Chris. I'm senior consultant, which is just a very nebulous title, so it means that I can do whatever it is that we need help with. But like Kate, I've gone through a couple of roles at the center. I've helped out with our social media, done graphic design, and helped to kind of help with the management of the center. So today I get to talk about some of the stuff that I'm very passionate about.
So before we get started, we wanted to just get a feel for the room. What is your level of experience with some of the different social media platforms? And based on what we hear from you, we'll kind of alter our presentation. We don't want to just drone on about things you already know. And if there are things that you don't know and want to learn more about, then we can focus on those and expand upon those a little bit more. So before we get started, can we just kind of get a hands for how many of you are using Facebook for your ministry? Okay, a majority of the room. And have you been using that for a long time, more than a couple of years, or just getting started? What about Twitter? Okay, so a decent amount, maybe a little less than half. What about Instagram? Okay, more than Twitter.
How many of you want to start using Instagram?
Oh, what about using none? Okay.
That's okay.
That's totally fine.
Mm-hmm. How many, is there anyone that's not using any kind of social media right now?
Okay, so as we get started, we'll touch briefly on most of the platforms that you will want to be using in your ministry. And then we'll get a little bit deeper and talk about some of the emerging platforms and some of the new tools that you can be using on these various platforms. So we'll start with Facebook, which is the biggest social media platform out there. It's one of the more well-established. As of now, we currently have over 2 billion active users. So that number has just increased and increased over the years. And Facebook started off being kind of like a young adult or college-aged social media platform. And over the years, that has gone on to include basically every demographic and every age range. So Facebook is a great place to start if you have not started using social media for your ministry or for your parish. Because of just the wide use of Facebook as a platform, but also because you can use a lot of different content on there. You can be sharing a lot of a big variety of content on Facebook, whether that be your graphics, whether that be sharing a blog or linking to an article. It gives you a lot of creativity in your posts. So you're not limited to just one thing. So if you are going to be investing in a social media platform, Facebook is a great place to start. It's very comprehensive. You can do videos, you can do live videos, you can host events. So that's just a great place to start. What a lot of you were showing us in this room today is that a lot of you are on Instagram, and that's very indicative of just where our culture is right now with Instagram. Instagram has just skyrocketed in usage. It's one of the social media platforms that has been growing at just an incredible rate. It is now bigger than Twitter, it's bigger than Snapchat, it's bigger than YouTube, Pinterest, so it's the second largest social media platform that is being used right now. It's a little bit of a younger demographic, but again, it's still very widely used by all of the different generations. But as I included that 72% of teens use Instagram, so just to show you that even young people and very young people are on Instagram. It's a little bit less of a formal platform. It started off just being strictly photo heavy, so you would just snap a photo and upload it. And since its inception, it's become much more sophisticated. And so now you can do videos, you can do live videos, so live broadcasting, and that's something that we'll touch on a little bit later. You can also do stories, so those are quick videos that are at the top of a feed, and that's very much adopting the sort of Snapchat model. So Instagram has done a very good job at that and has effectively made Snapchat less and less useful. And you can also save those stories, so you can see this is our Instagram account, and we have different sections where we have saved some of the stories that we've created so that people can go visit those again. But yeah, it's still photo and video heavy, but the way we use Instagram at the Catholic Apostolate Center is by sharing photos that then can link back to our website, link back to the blog, so link back to other places, either our website or other social media accounts, to draw people kind of further into your mission. So, because Instagram was bought by Facebook, they have a great integration model, so anything that you're uploading on Instagram can go straight to Facebook.
So Twitter is definitely still, it was one of the very early social media platforms out there that got started right after Facebook. And as a lot of us know, it is a kind of, it's meant for short, punchy, witty things, or to share things like links to other websites, links back to your website. It's good for sharing quotes. It's also good for sharing a lot of the things that you would share on other platforms. Images, short videos, graphics that you create to advertise events and things like that. This is not necessarily the platform where you're gonna wanna invite people to your socials or kind of that, because Twitter gets constantly updated. If you're on your feed, something you see at this moment is already gonna be off your feed 5, even 1, 2 minutes, depending on how many people you're following and how active they are on their platform. The hashtag that kind of got started because of Twitter, and now it's being used on all platforms, you can, hashtags are used to kind of group conversations together, group events together. Folks, if you've ever watched like the Oscars or if you're watching a television show, people are tweeting and live while the show's going on. It has created this interaction that you can have beyond you just being there on your couch, but it also creates us to be able to interact with participants at events like this. Mm-hmm. So I've pulled up the MA Congress hashtag, Forming Apostles. If you're going to be tweeting about this session, we'd love you to use that. That's kind of, we're trying to make that the Catholic Apostles Center's hashtag, so that when you search Forming Apostles, you can see some of the other things that we're doing. And that's something that you can just turn right around and start using in your ministries and your groups. You can use that to publicize to folks that aren't involved, or you can just use it internally. Hey, if you didn't get to go to this meeting, or if you're trying to find more information about Catholic educational chats or something like that, there are all kinds of things out there that you can search for, and they can group that conversation together. 335 million active users, and one of the things I wanted to note is that when Twitter first started, you were limited to 140 characters. They've since doubled that. You now can post a little longer, 280 characters, and they've made it a lot easier for you to continue your conversation through multiple tweets. Pinterest, it's still out there. It's still there, and one of the things that we do have a Pinterest page, but I will note it's something that we have not paid as much attention to as we probably should have been. And one of the things that I noted is we've got almost 15,000 monthly viewers. And what does that mean? And there's all kinds of analytics that you can dig into, but Pinterest is still something that it's kind of like a hashtag. It can group topics together if there's a whole series of things that you want to post about Advent or Lent or anything like that. You can create a virtual pin board or a bulletin board where you can post images that link back to different websites. If you want to post things that all kind of follow the same theme, that's a great place to do it. And then you can link to those boards through your websites, through Twitter, through Facebook, etc. YouTube, we put this up here as part of social media because in many ways it is. One of the statistics that I pulled up, 73% of U.S. adults are using YouTube. Okay, that doesn't mean that they're on there all the time, but at some point, 73% of us have gone on YouTube to watch cat videos or to follow, to look at a video about anything, about a speaker event that you missed. A lot of people are recording their events and putting them up on YouTube, and so that that way their usefulness can be way beyond the event that's just happening, right? You can pull those down, post them on your website. If there are events that you're putting on, you may want to record them, put it up on a YouTube page, and then that way that video can just be shared and shared and shared and shared. A lot of things you're seeing now too, especially I think it is growing in our Catholic market, is because people want to see the lectures and the things that groups are putting on. Mass is on there too. Live streaming, you can use YouTube for live streaming as well. You can live stream things. And of course, there's a lot of technical things that get associated with that. But if you've got a video camera and you record it, you can put it up on YouTube. So we kind of talked about the landscape. We want to talk a little bit about, like Kate said, a little introduction to what else is out there, and also what resources are out there for you to use to post onto these social media platforms. There's a lot out there, and like we said, and as Father said earlier, you do not need degrees and all this expertise in the design elements to produce something that's high quality mm-hmm. and get your message across without looking like clip art or something that you cut out and posted, because that's how it all started, right? And there are tools out there now that can bring you to the next level.
So has anyone heard about Canva? Okay, a few of you. So Canva is a really great graphic design tool that's free. They have a lot of stock photos already included in canva.com after you create an account. And it, basically, it's just a very, very user-friendly way to design graphics that you will be using in your promotional materials, on your social media feeds and platforms, and really wherever you would need these. What's nice is that you can kind of create your brand on Canva and use the same colors, the same fonts, the same type of graphics to create an overall tone. And that's something that you really want to be thinking about as you not only design graphics, but also as you use different social media platforms. If someone goes to my Twitter account or if someone goes to our Instagram account, are they getting kind of a cohesive understanding of our mission? Yes, the various social media platforms have nuances, slightly different tones, slightly different audiences, and things along that line, but also, you know, overall, is someone getting your story? And what is exactly your mission as an organization? And so as you begin to use some of these tools, we really invite you to be thinking about that. It might be good for your team to kind of sit and have a brainstorming session and say, you know, just what is our mission? And what words do we want to be using? What hashtags, what colors, what schemes? So that when people are visiting your different platforms, they say, oh, this is definitely the Catholic Apostolate Center's work. And so that will just really be helpful for your branding. And so here are a few graphics that we have designed using Canva for the blog and for our various social media platforms. The first is a quote from Father Frank that was sent out to our newsletter. The second is the title graphic for one of our blog posts. And the third is a quote from St. Vincent Pallotti, who is a patron of the Catholic Apostolate Center. And that's something that we share every Monday, is an inspirational quote from St. Vincent Pallotti. So you can tell that they are similar, but they also have nuances. So most of our blog posts are going to look like that with a different background image. All of them are going to have our logo, and just kind of various, like the same font as well. So just different things that you can see. There's diversity in what we're creating, but also a sense of cohesion. And so Canva is just a very, very great resource, great place to start designing your own graphics so that you can be making your own content. And like I said, it's free, and they have various levels of membership. So the more sophisticated you want to get with it, you can become like a monthly member and pay a monthly fee. But you by no means have to. The next emerging just resource that we have incorporated lately into the Catholic Apostolate Center's work is a website called Lumen 5. Is anyone using Lumen 5, or has anyone heard of it? Okay, great. So Lumen 5 is wonderful. It's a way of taking text content that you already have and making it into short videos. So because most social media platforms are very photographic and video heavy, and the use of video is just increasing and increasing as the days go by, as Chris said, 73% of adults are on YouTube at some point. So there's just this this real thirst and want for video content, and that's very hard to produce on our own if we do not have a team, if we do not have a videographer, you know. And so Lumen 5 is a great, also free resource that can help you. Like for example, the first video that I have right here is we turned a blog post into a short video. And so we repackaged that in a way that would engage more people and be a little bit more compelling. It's the same content that we have on our blog, but it's repackaged. And so we can show a brief clip of that. And the reason we did that is to just show you, you know, how that looks and how easy it is to do. So let's show like maybe 20 seconds. Thank you. So basically that text I copied and pasted from our actual blog post, and I used some of Father's own graphics for this specific video, but Lumen 5 offers you access to stock footage and Getty images and just a variety of content. Like, I think it's like millions of different photos and videos that you can just drag and drop into your video. That music was from Lumen 5. And so all that we did as the Catholic Apostolate Center was, again, create that brand. So we are using specific colors. We have a specific font. At the end of the video, you can see our logo. And in this particular instance, we used our own photos. But you can use a huge number of photos online too. So you don't even be having, you don't even have to be using your own photos to create these videos. Another video that we have is we've been sharing the Saint feast images over the course of the existence of the Catholic Apostolate Center. And we realized that those saint images that we were sharing were just getting a lot of engagement and a lot of interest. And so taking that interest and that engagement, we decided to then create videos for all these various saints. And so this is one of our patron, St. Vincent Pallotti, that we did. And that was actually done by one of our interns. So we work with some interns from the Catholic University of America. And so just to give you an idea, it does not have to be a full-time person. It can just be someone that is interested in your mission and has a few minutes free to do that.
Kate and I are both part-time.
And then we also wanted to talk about Facebook Live. So as I mentioned earlier, Facebook is a very established platform, but a lot of these social media platforms that already exist are looking for ways to innovate and to continue to engage their audience. And so because there's such a need and want for video content, Facebook decided to create Facebook Live, which basically lets anyone broadcast live using their phone. It does not, you do not need a camera, you do not need your fancy equipment. All you need is a smartphone, and you are able to broadcast to all of your followers. And when you do, most of those followers are going to be notified. I don't know if that's automatic. Chris and I were talking about that earlier. I don't know if it's automatically that you are like notified that someone's going live, or if you have to set it up that way.
Well, that can be something. The fact that now everybody doesn't want all the notifications in there. When it first started, it was like, oh, this person's live, you should watch. And then everyone was like, I don't care. So I think now it may be a setting you have to turn on and off, but yeah.
But because Facebook wants you to be going live and creating video content on their platform, they kind of reward you by drawing more and more of your audience to that content. And so if you're looking for a quick and easy way to kind of increase your level of engagement, that's one way to do that, doing that periodically. And then finally, I wanted to talk about Instagram Story. So again, Instagram has been around for a little bit of time. Right now, it's the second largest social media platform. And we really saw Instagram skyrocket when they started doing Instagram Stories. So Instagram Stories is just a quick way of sharing photos and short videos. The videos can be live, or you can kind of pre-record them and then share. And they disappear after 24 hours. So this is very much using the original Snapchat model of these quick photos and videos that then disappear. Instagram has gotten more sophisticated in that you can save your stories. So in one of our other slides, we showed how we had different logos, which were three different stories, groups of Instagram stories that the Catholic Apostolate Center created. And those were from the World Meeting of Families, which one of our staff members participated in. One of our staff members was at the Synod in Rome, and so we got some footage from him. And then just very recently, we helped host and sponsor World Youth Day DC, which is Panama and the Capital, which was a young adult event that drew over 1,000 young adults to the Archdiocese of Washington to celebrate World Youth Day in solidarity with those in Panama. So here are three examples of what Instagram stories can look like. You can tag different people. So if you're talking about someone, like in this, we were sharing what Pope Francis was saying at the World Meeting of Families. We tagged him and then had his quote. In the first one, that's one of my colleagues, Brian, and myself just introducing ourselves and saying that we were going to be MCs at this event. So that was an actual video. And then in the middle, we have footage of what it looked like in the synod with all the different cardinals, and we just had footage from that. So Instagram story is another way that you can get creative. You can change the filter, you can tag people, and a lot of different ways to share an Instagram story.
A quick question.
Sure.
What's the reason that you would want it to disappear after 24 hours? Like, why would you do that instead of just putting it onto your regular Instagram feed?
It's all about creating buzz. And if that is something that you want to keep, that's why they do give you the option now to kind of to collect that conversation, to collect those stories. And the difference between, well, when we were talking about how it kind of takes from that Snapchat model, the difference here is you're posting your story to everyone that you're following. The Snapchat model is, I'm going to send it to Kate, or I'm going to send it to this, right? So what else are you going to post tomorrow? So there's a little bit of encouragement on Instagram's end to get you to keep using it. But then on the user end, it's maybe there's more content that you're going to post tomorrow.
Right. And also, it's a way of sharing a lot more content without maybe clogging up your feed. And because Instagram story is a little bit less formal, you can be using it more often. Whereas if I'm creating my Instagram account and I want to draw people to my feed, I want to show maybe like my best photos or my best content that's going to be permanently on my feed versus, you know, here's Kate and Chris doing this quick Instagram story about our presentation at Mac.
I think a really good example is when we were helping to host World Youth Day DC. If we were posting everything that we were doing there, our whole feed for several pictures would just be about World Youth Day DC. That's not the only thing we do. Mm-hmm. And so there is an incentive there. Well, if we put it on stories, it's something that people can follow in the moment, but then eventually it's not going to be on our feed. And like Kate is saying, it's not when people are going to your Instagram feed, it's not that's the only, the chili cook-off is not the only thing that you're doing, right? You're doing other things. So we've talked a lot about emerging platforms. We talked about the standard bearers, and it's a lot. And the question is, some of you are a one-person team, two-people team, and it's a lot to manage. It's when folks are saying to you, we need to be on social media. Okay, well, let's get me a one for each person for each one of these things, and we can do it. And that obviously is just, that's not the way it is, right? And even on our team, we have social media accounts on all these platforms, and it's being managed by one, maybe one and a half people. And we talk a lot about how do we manage this? How do we do this? And we certainly meet internally and talk about communication and what do we want to do? But we do use tools to keep our social media organized. We use a lot of calendars. Google Calendar is a great way to just, okay, let me put a social media calendar together so that if I'm here and I'm saying that we're going to post this on Facebook, this on Twitter, this, and maybe you have multiple people managing those accounts, some volunteers or some interns, everyone knows what's being posted at the same time, so you're not double posting, you're not posting the wrong thing on the wrong day. To keep that kind of flow of information moving, Google Calendar is a free and great way to just manage that. A lot of these platforms, Facebook in particular, and I believe Instagram, allows you now to start scheduling posts through the platform itself without the need of anything else. So you can go on and schedule Facebook posts to post at a certain time of day. if you're not going to be in the office at 8 a.m. in the morning, but you want it to be on there at 8 a.m. in the morning, you can schedule it at 5 p.m. before you leave the office the next day before. You can write the post, post the graphic, and you can do this for multiple days, so you can kind of build it out and start being more thinking about what am I going to be talking about for the week. Obviously, you do want to be current, so your feed, you don't want to look like it's behind, but this gives you an opportunity. If you know that something always needs to be posted at this time, on this day, you can pre-schedule it. And then there are tools out there that can help you manage all of these platforms. So, Hootsuite is something that is very popular out there right now. TweetDeck and all of these things that can help you post one place, and it will post it in all of the places. You want to be cognizant about how you're using that, because as we were talking about earlier, there are different nuances to the way we're communicating on these platforms. But if you just work in Hootsuite, you can go in and schedule the Twitter, the Facebook post, the Instagram post, and then you're good, and for at least a few days or however long you want to do that. And later is another one. It's a newer version, I would like to say, of Hootsuite. It also starts out free, and then if you want to get more sophisticated, there are some costs associated with it, but it's a kind of a newer, flashier version of Hootsuite, but it allows you to do the same kind of thing, to pre-schedule and post from one place on multiple platforms. One other thing we wanted to talk about when it comes to emerging platforms or podcasts. A lot of folks are using podcasts. This is something that requires a little bit of thought and investment behind it. It did take us a little thought and investment into, did we want to dive into this space? I'm happy to say that we did. Kate and I are actually part of our podcast team. So if you are not already subscribed to our podcast, please like and subscribe. You can just search Catholic Apostolate Center on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. And we talk about a variety of topics, Lent, mm-hmm. Advent,
hospitality, the Synod, young adults, evangelization.
Yep. So we've got that kind of team little chat going on, but we also have other things that we post on our podcast feed. We take our blog posts, and we've gotten some folks together to read them. We record them, and then we turn them into little audio snippets, audio books. We call them blogcasts, and we post them on our podcast feed. So we've got things that are being posted there several times a week that are going to download to your phone. I put this up here because, yes, it's something you can do. Yes, it is easier than it sounds. And there may be a way that you want to integrate this into what you're doing, whether that's just for your internal group, or if you want to start producing stuff to put out there along with everything else. You just got to put together a little recording device and eventually get it up on, Apple Podcasts. It sounds complicated, but there are groups out there that can help you. We're one of them, maybe. So what I write up here, is this something you want to invest in? Do you have the content for this kind of stuff? And you don't have to be a big star. It's not just about people, like I said, you may want to use this for your internal group. Maybe you want to record Father's homilies and get them out to your parish. There's ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, it just shows a willingness to use what is being used out there. So I think a lot of times within the Catholic Church, we're very hesitant to use new platforms and to put ourselves out there. And, at the Catholic Apostolate Center, we discerned that we had the content and that we felt like we had a place in the podcast world to share a specifically Catholic story. And so our podcast is actually called On Mission. And so we talk about what are some different ways that we as Catholics can be on mission in the world. Just a willingness to experiment with different social media platforms, different media devices, and just kind of getting creative. And again, none of us have major degrees in any of these things, and a lot of us actually on staff are part-time.
So to kind of bring this all back together, a couple of things to kind of keep in mind about social media. The first thing is you want to make sure that you're reviewing your content, that you have a process in place to kind of, so you're not shooting from the hip. You know, this is something, you've talked about this, whether this is you've had a meeting and you're saying this is what we're going to talk about, or you put a process in place for reviewing the content. Okay, I'm going to write this, then I'm going to send it to this person to review. You want to put something like that in place because this isn't your personal account, right? You are going to be posting, representing whatever ministry, organization, parish that you are working for. And so you want to make sure that you are keeping that in mind in what you're posting. And so we have that same kind of process at Catholic Apostles Center. We do a lot of it in advance, and we have monthly meetings where we talk about what we're going to post for the month, not down to specifics, and you know, but we talk about these kinds of things. Which leads me to number two. You want to maintain the voice. What's the voice? How are you going to talk on social media? And if you've got multiple people that are helping you out with your social media, how are you going to keep that voice consistent? So Kate was talking earlier about what are the kind of words that we're going to use? How are we going to talk about X? What are we going to say so that when Sally's posting and when Jake is posting, it sounds the same? And it doesn't seem like there are two different people out there posting for you, that the organization is speaking as a whole. Three, remember your purpose. You want to link it back. What you're posting out there, you're linking it back to what is it that your mission is. Is this purposeful? Does this have a place in what it, our whole point of why are we on social media? Because we want to be out there reaching out to folks in the ways we want to meet them where they are. This is, social media is a landscape for us as church to be there. And all of the groups that are, you all represent in the room, that's where you want to be. And so is what you're posting helping with that mission? Number four, only handle as many platforms as you can. We talked a lot about the different platforms. If you're not using any of them, it doesn't mean that you should start all five or six of them at the same time. Plan it out. Facebook's very easy to get started. Once you've got your sea legs under you, maybe you expand to Twitter or Instagram and put together a team to kind of help you, volunteer, interns, however that may work.
Mm-hmm. It's better to be using one platform and using it well than trying to be on every platform and not having the ability to be updating them regularly.
Right. The worst thing that can happen is I go and Google St. Mary's Parish and I see an Instagram feed or something that hasn't been updated in a year. That just shows, something's not being paid attention to, and that may turn me off. And yes, is that really fair to you? No, but it is just simply the way that things are, right? So if it's not something that you can handle, maybe you want to put it aside for now until you can, because it's a simple Google search. And oftentimes, these social media platforms are the first things to pop up. It's the same thing with a website. If you've got a website out there that hasn't been updated in the last 6 weeks, and I'm trying to find the most recent thing, and I come to the web, maybe this isn't the community that I want to be a part of because it doesn't seem very active. And you may very well be active and doing all kinds of things, and that's why you don't have time to update your website. But somebody's got to pay a little bit of attention to that. You want to identify that. Number five. Monitor your own personal social media use. Oftentimes, right, if we're helping out coordinating communications for our organization, we're listed. And a simple, I want to know what this guy's doing, or I want to know how do these people work? And, you know, a simple search could open you up to your own personal stuff. And so you want to keep that in mind when you're posting on your personal accounts. Oh, I'm also working for this group. Am I putting the best face forward? So either that means turn that stuff private, or be cognizant of what you're posting, or probably a little bit of both.
We went in an institutional direction for a reason. You might say, well, how come we didn't get very personal in terms of my own personal thing, and that's the next best, greatest thing is to use social media to evangelize, and that will bring all these people to church. Especially young adults, and young people. And you know what? In many ways, that's a bit of baloney. Relationship is the key piece. Relationship can be extended by social media as a tool. That relationship might start on social media, but somewhere along the line, it's important to have the real life experience. Plenty of people on so-called quote-unquote Catholic Twitter stand behind their false accounts in order to just simply troll other people. Part of our mission is to rekindle charity. So being charitable, while it may not get a lot of followers, actually for us it has. Our Facebook page has 216,000 people across the globe. And our various other social media does relatively well for Catholic social media. The charity piece is the countercultural piece, especially in the present moment. And not just in our general secular culture, general culture in the United States or in the world, but our culture within the church. And love, the love of Christ evangelizes. Not hate. Not put downs. Now, can it be used also as a teaching tool? Yes. There are opportunities for teaching. The 10,000 thread Twitter, tweet that you might see sometimes can be helpful, oftentimes not. I've been using social media personally since 2006 when I went onto Facebook. And it's young adults who invited me then onto first Facebook, then Twitter, then Instagram, then Snapchat. We've built a whole ministry around a lot of the social media pieces. To not be on social media in some way, shape, or form as a Catholic organization today is like the ostrich putting her or his head into the sand. It's maintenance mode. It's internal. It's, we're just going to stay here where we're comfortable. It's not missionary discipleship. Going out. It's not apostleship. Going out where maybe, and taking that risk, but it may be a moment where that connection could well be a significant connection that draws someone into the encounter with Christ. And maybe in that, in and through the use of these tools, no different than if we give somebody a book or something that's recorded or some video to watch, it's simply another tool for us to use to evangelize. And it's important for us to see it in that way. And particularly as people who are engaged in the life of the church, to be able to, on our own social media, if we have it, not compartmentalize that part of our life. As several of our team members can attest to, it's often that little post that might engender a conversation, just a resharing of maybe something that they were working on or that they thought was good for the rest of their, and not heavy-handed, will engender a conversation of, oh, I didn't know you actually practiced Catholicism. Can I ask you about? It's then that the relationship deepens. Whether it's a sharing privately or sharing publicly on social media or emailing somebody something, a YouTube video, You can also take, even if somebody's not on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, unless it's locked down, you can also share that link and they can go and look at it themselves. I've done that with a number of my confreres in my religious community who, you know, I mean, they are the greatest of Luddites. Forget it. I mean, they can barely email, most of them. But they find it interesting then. Gee. So there are possibilities, and we just invite you into those tools. So practical tip, we want to open up a conversation now. We have about 10 minutes left. We're going to open up a conversation now. If there are any practical tips, there are experienced people who are here in the room when it comes to social media, practical tips that you might want to offer and share to the larger group, or maybe some how-tos that you have found helpful. And then if you have any questions or comments, we'll take those for right now. You're welcome also to join us at our exhibit, which is exhibit booth 313 in the learning resource area. And then at 5 o'clock, we're having what are called collaborative conversations, and that's in the key foyer. Go to the end of the registration, make a right. There will be drinks and hors d'oeuvres for an hour, free. So we're hosting that. You're welcome to come and continue your conversation there as well. And how about in the back? Hey, Mark.
Could you expand a little bit more on, actually, what I'd like for you to do, can you give me a specific example of a charitable and an uncharitable use of a social platform?
Mm-hmm. And you feel free to.
I can think of many uncharitable
ones, yeah. We have always stayed positive. Everything that you see that we post is not, first off, everybody and their brother posts the controversial. You know, they just kind of, including Catholic media, they'll spin it according to whatever their point of view is, whatever the thing is. We try to step behind and say, what is the kernel of this that is also, can also help to build, grow a person's faith life? And pull that out. We did that with the Synod. We did that with the World Meeting of Families, for example, because we had people on the ground there. So rather than continue the same narrative that everybody else is putting out there, we tried to look at it from a little different angle. For a parish or a church organization, it's from then your particular area of expertise or view or local type of situation. If it's your personal account, then to be able to put forward that which will help build up the life of faith rather than tear it down. Now, that's not to say to stay away from the scandal. Look, you know, for example, when it comes to the abuse crisis, we will be very careful about what we post, but we will not ignore it. So we won't get into the feeding frenzy immediately. We'll step back. See what's happening and see what some of the official responses are or some things that have not gotten notice and then bring that to the fore. And we found that that's been very effective.
I just wanted to add to that is that to think about the content that you're sharing. It may not necessarily be the content that you're creating, but sometimes you can get mixed up in what you're sharing, because on one of the things that we may not have touched on as much as I would have liked to thinking about it is that on all these platforms, not only can you create your own content, but you can share everyone else's. And so when you're looking for the more charitable things to share, you can share our stuff. But you know, there's other charitable groups out there. When you think about, okay, here's what am I looking for? And looking for a positive message instead of a negative one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was just going to say a perfect example recently was the March for Life, mm-hmm. and the Covington, the high school kids. Mm-hmm. And I was there at the march, and I remember going on to social media. It was amazing how many Catholic organizations immediately started sending out posts that were one that they were taking aside. Within 30 minutes of this broadcast, mm-hmm. and then within 24 hours, they had to sort of go back, mm-hmm. and pull it back. But mm-hmm. it felt very much like there were a lot of type of post going out using the name of that, that organization. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot that did that.
The old saying, patience is a virtue. And I know that it's difficult on social media for a number of people because they want to be either the first or the latest or the greatest in order to put the hot take out there. And that's all wonderful, but that can really do a lot of damage when it's kind of knee-jerk reaction. Mm-hmm. Some things, yes, need to be reacted to, but when we're talking about official reactions, it's always important to be more measured. Even if you are being slammed, one of the problems today is that there are a number of church organizations that will get slammed, for example, on social media about some issue. It will seem larger than it may actually be because it's so virulent. And sometimes organizations will respond far too quickly. And it's important to be measured and step back before one would respond to something, because in some ways there are also, and you cannot undermine, you know, this will sound really conspiratorial and everything else, there are a lot of bots out there, meaning there are a lot of accounts that are out there that are fake, that are meant to create and sow difficulty and division, some of them in this country, some of them out of this country. And that's including Catholic accounts, okay? Because it serves their purposes, whatever those purposes are. The second thing is, there are those who just simply want to sow division. That's part of what they're about. And troll, literally troll accounts in order to do that. And they're live and in person. So I think it's important that we be careful, not that we ignore, but we also have to be measured. Some other comments, yes ma'am. It's an important thing. Do you want to, either of you want to?
You got to do it. I totally understand coming from the perspective of you don't want to, discomfort is hard and conflict is hard, and you don't want to be the person that's shutting them down, and you do not want to, you don't want to, in many ways, you don't want to be the adult, right? But sometimes we need to hear that, and you have to position the message to be, let's just have a conversation about this, and you've got to express that because they are representing that larger group, you are representing that larger group, and that larger group has a message, has a mission, has a voice. And you know, maybe it's just a simple conversation of like, turn it private, you know, so that you're not out there. And you know, a lot of times, you know, when you're working, I know, not that I'm a college minister, but I know that college minister is like, I'm not going to friend my people, right? I'm not going to friend the flock. And I'm doing that on purpose because I don't want to create, I want there to be that little bit of a barrier. I think that conversation just needs to happen, and you just need to have.
And under 18, most if not all dioceses and church organizations, the adults should not be following the social media of the teens. Should not. A lot of the policies, and even if it comes on their end, a lot of the policies are very clear that that's a boundary issue. So you need to know what your policies are for your given diocese, parish, church organization, whatever it might be. But when we're talking about minors, great, 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 great care has to be taken because things are easily misconstrued. Things can develop in ways that are inappropriate. And even if they are, you know, 30 seconds older into 18, they are an adult. And these are teens. These are minors. So it's extremely important to be careful about whether or not there's cross connections that are going on there, because that can create a question in terms of safe environment. So I'm being really kind of heavy-handed about that, but I want to put it out there because there's been some permeation with regard to that has created some problems in terms of connections and inappropriateness in terms of relationships. How about back here, or over here, and then back here? Yes.
I'm the Carmelite sister, and we recently did a Facebook video on what is the monastery. We were told we got some people who were really disparaging us because I don't wear a habit, we don't wear habits. And the learning for that, for us, was you can state the ground rules for the conversation ahead of time, and you should. So one of our ground rules is your messages have to be charitable or they will be deleted, and that you only have two opportunities to respond to something, because the people will, you know, keep going and keep going and keep going. So you need to be able to handle
it. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a free for all. I mean, you had to monitor for.
Yeah. It's very important to have someone monitoring comments and just looking at things, seeing if there are things that need to be responded to, seeing if it's worth your time to engage with other people, or at some point you can just block people that are like repeated offenders. They might have it out for your particular ministry or organization. So it is important to, keep an eye on that. And then also just going back to your question, I think too, it could be a case-by-case basis. Maybe there's one of your youth ministers that is using social media inappropriately, but that might also be something that could be involved in their training. Hey, if you're gonna be working for us, volunteering for us, at the beginning of the year, either you are signing a contract or we're having some type of agreement and understanding that you are going to be using social media appropriately and that you are a representative of the parish or whoever, because their personal social media accounts could be leading a lot of young people to, like, closer to or further from Christ. So that is something that could be addressed maybe each year, twice a year, or on a case-by-case basis.
Or you don't volunteer. I mean, it's no different than anything else with regard to that. One more, and then we're going to have to wrap. You had your, I'm sorry, no?
Honestly, it was just a culmination of the last couple of comments. There's a simple three-step process for managing social media as far as individuals that are involved in your organization, your individual case. Just the first step is make sure that you have standard operating procedures and then you yourself as a director know them. The second is to, as this young lady was just mentioning, make sure that they're educated, number one, on what those policies are, but also on maybe they don't realize that everybody in their second place can see what they're putting on Facebook. So making sure that they're educated on your SOPs and how to do it. And then third thing is people skills. It's when you have to have that difficult comment or conflict conversation about, hey, look, you may not realize it, but you're representative of us, and this is being connected.
Great way to wrap up. Thank you all very much. We appreciate your time.